you need to finish at 12 because we've got to give the keys back. And now we're going, oh, please, please, can we just try? And it moved just a little like, whoop. And we were all like, wow, that's amazing. So she went away and we tried a bit more and it were tiny little movements, nothing much, just like an inch. And then she came back and she was like, right, that's it. We're done. And as she came in and said that, the table moved about 3 foot, like, and I felt like I'd won the lottery. I was just, oh my God. And because we had also had an observer at the door, you know, waiting for us to finish. And she saw us walk with this table. We've got goosebumps. And it moved towards the wall.
Hello and welcome to episode 45 of Your Ghost Stories. Today, I'm joined by a 21st century friendly green witch. She is the host of the magical show, The Bell Witch Podcast, and is a very proud northerner. On that note, I'd like to introduce Emma to the show.
Your Ghost Stories. Your Ghost Stories.
Hey up, Doc.
Now then, you're right.
It's great to have you here. Please feel free to let us know a little bit about yourself and elaborate on anything that I might have missed from your introduction.
Okay. Well, I'm a bit nervous because this is the first time I've done an interview on somebody else's podcast. So it's nice to be at the other end of the mic. I started the Bell Witch podcast about a year ago with a friend who did 10 episodes with me and then dropped out, and it was me on my own. And it was all about witching with children in like the 21st century and how you get witchcraft into your daily busy life, you know, like on school runs and camping with kids. And then the more I did, the more apparent it became that it was just so much bigger than just witching with kids. And also I was really mindful that I was excluding quite a lot of people by saying it's witching with kids. So it naturally evolved into just honest, authentic witching, doing what you can, you know, not feeling bad about it and not, you know, seeing the Instagram and Facebook perfect witching and being like, oh, I'm not doing it right. It's not perfect. It's like nothing's perfect. And as long as you're doing it with good intention, then that is as good as the perfect Instagram witching that you see every day.
What do your kids think about their mum being a witch?
Oh, they love it. My little one loves it. My older one isn't so into it at the moment. I mean, she's quite mystical for an 8-year-old, as they are. And I think she did a show and tell with some crystals. And I said to her, did you tell them that your mum were a witch? And she was like, no. Like, what? I can't believe you didn't tell them. And my little one, who's 5, goes around going like, my mum is a witch. You know, like room on the broom. My mum is a witch.
Cute. I've heard of a white witch before, but what does being a green witch entail?
So like white witch is quite, I would say like, that's my kid. You'll have to edit that out.
Should have put a sleeping spell on her.
I should have. I thought there'd be baby now. Yeah, so the term white witch is quite dated, like from the 90s. It's not really, I would never call myself a white witch, but that's like, it's all about the magic you do. So because Wiccan is, I suppose is a white witch because you'd use your magic for good, so you wouldn't be hexing or anything. Whereas a green witch is more like, a witch who does stuff with the earth and herbs and grows plants and uses all the paganism aspects of the life we lead. And like elemental magic's quite deep and it's massive, really. So I say I'm a green witch just because I'm really good at growing stuff like indoor and outdoor, and my house is covered in plants and my magic is very earth-based. So I use flowers and dirt from the garden, you know, rather than buy stuff off the shelf if I can help it. I mean, of course, there is a need for that. And no shade to those who do, because we do what we can do and we get things where we can get them. But I would say, yeah, earth-based paganism and witching is a green witch.
I love that. Even without the concept of being a witch, just, you know, being self-sufficient and growing your own herbs and vegetables. I think that's the way forward, because sadly, this day and age, you know, you go to the supermarket and everything's just been tampered with, you know, GMOs and everything like that. So
exactly.
And yeah, yeah. I get really conscious about what I'm putting into my body. You know, I've got a kid as well, and you know what we're feeding her and stuff. So yeah, even without, like I say, without the witch aspect of it, it's just a nice thing to do for yourself, for your family, and for the environment.
And how magic is it? You get a seed and you plant it with intention to grow something to feed your family. That in itself is just absolutely magic. I just love it.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the definition of life itself, really. Or, you know, everything starts kind of as a seed. Even, you know, before we started this podcast, it was a seed that was planted in our minds and grew and became what they are today.
Yeah, yeah. And like you say, I think when you have kids, it makes you more aware of things, because you're making decisions for somebody else, and that makes you more accountable and more aware of what is going on in the world. And the term pagan just means somebody who cares about the earth. You don't have to be a witch to be a pagan, or the other way around. You can be a pagan and not be a witch. If you recycle, or you've got an allotment, or you divide stuff at the tip, or you buy ethical products, all them things mean you're a pagan.
Where did this journey begin for you? Was it at an early age, or...?
I've always been spooky and I've always been weird, because my mum was psychic, and I've done a whole episode on that about growing up with a psychic mum and the ghosts and stuff. And then I was a goth when I was a teenager, but I didn't make that connection of being a witch, which just astounds me that I didn't make it. And then having children, so it was like I drifted around my life for 10 years, not knowing what to do with myself, had a child, and that just awoken something in my soul, really spiritual. The mindfulness and the people you hang out with as well. I was meeting a lot of people like me who were craving community and looking at stuff a different way, you know, like not mainstream. And then one of my friends was doing a subscription box, and one of the themes that I got was witch. And in this box was like a mini cauldron and some candles and some herbs and this book called Witch, which I read from start to finish and was just like, oh my God, this is who I am. Oh my God. I mean, now it's a terrible book. I mean, I'd never read it again. But at the time, it was a great stepping stone. And then, yeah, just started discovering stuff. Discovered my mentor who runs a witch school in Leeds that was beginning that summer as I'd just made the conscious decision. And it was just like all these things aligning. And then once I started, I just couldn't stop. And it just took over absolutely everything that I do. And it's a massive part of my life now.
It does seem nowadays there is less stigma attached to the term witch. I think me as a 30-year-old guy growing up, the thought of a witch would be, you know, a haggard old lady on a broomstick with warts on her face and a black cat. But as I've grown older, you know, I know so many people that have dabbled, or, you know, are quite heavily into it, into witchcraft and stuff. And yeah, it's to a lot of people probably now still is probably a very strange concept, but there's you know, no negative connotations or anything attached to it. I think, you know, each to their own, and if you've found a path that just makes you happy and makes, you know, puts life in you, then that's great. How do you define modern witchcraft, and how does that differ from, say, traditional practices?
I think it's a lot more intuition led. And there's less rules that constrict you. There's a lot of witches who work alone just because of life and jobs and stuff, solitary witches, and they kind of make their own rules up because their rules work for them. And it always goes down to what you want to get from magic, like your intent. That's it, yeah. It's all about the intent of your actions. So, you know, magic and witchcraft is no different. So there is still covens that exist that follow their own traditions, like Gardnerian and Alexandrian and Dianic and all that kind of Wicca, which I am not interested in joining because I am having so much fun knowing the people that I know and doing the things I love to do. And I'm open to learning, but I'm not quite wanting to be constricted into a coven and rules. regulations. And there is those that will argue, well, you're not doing it right if you're not in a coven, you're not following rules and you haven't done tests and you can't call yourself this and you can't call yourself that. And I go, well, yeah, in your views and in your religion, in my religion, my you know, respect for the earth is huge. And I follow my gut. And if I do something that makes me go like, ooh, I won't do it again, you know, and I'll be held accountable. And I think all these things just add up to a really great witching. So if you pull to it, totally follow it. Read all the books. Go to the library. I am such a library lover. Why buy a book when you can get it for free? And it's like shopping. You can order them and borrow them and it's free. Support your library.
Would I be correct in saying there is also a dark side to witchcraft? Could you talk a little bit about the difference between the, you know, the good side and the darker or more evil side?
It's like anything. People can use it for good or use it for bad. There are people out there who do witchcraft and have no qualms about throwing a hex or putting somebody in a box with some nails and some whey and, like, you know, shaking it and then putting it in the freezer and stuff like that. Causing harm, if you're wanting to cause harm, you've got to be willing to live with the outcome. And I couldn't live my life like that. So, you know, some people pay people to do a negative spell thinking, oh, that's all right, because I've passed the book. I'm not physically doing the spell, so I'm safe. And I disagree, because you started the spark intent. So there's a lot of karma belief in my lifestyle too, you know, like what you send out, it will get back to you. And like the power of manifesting and stuff is all about the vibe that you ride on in life. And if you ride on a negative vibe where you don't really give a shit what happens to people, then how can you live yourself? And also knowing it's going to come back to you, because it will. It's just not worth the risk.
On that note, can you share any experiences where witchcraft has positively impacted your personal growth or your well-being?
God, it's massive. Since I became a witch, I'm just so happy. I've never been as happy in my life. There's been so much movement in the past 8 years since my first daughter was born. I was really depressed as a young person, as like a teenager, and all throughout my 20s, I was in and out of depression and I had loads of counselling and I was very rarely happy. And then I started doing witchcraft and just doing tiny little spells, and my magic of choice is sigils. So I'm really good at sigils. In fact, I'm shit hot at sigils. That's like my strongest magic. So that's like a symbol you create, a bit like a runestone. And you give it an intention, but you can do stuff with it. You can write it on your skin. You can tattoo it. You can put it in soil. You could stir it in your tea. You can put it on mirrors and steamy windows, and it'll represent. I tend to do a lot of jars with them, or people pay me to make them because they're that good. I mean, I sold somebody's house in about 3 weeks after they got a sigil off me. Somebody had a perfect birth, home birth, after a traumatic event previously, and she always says a lot of that is because of this sigil I made. And I'm just like, oh, it's so lovely. I've helped. I don't believe it's all me, of course not, but I just kind of like nudge the universe a little bit to be like, look at this sigil, this has got power. Take notice of it. And so I do a lot of sigils, and I've got some tattooed on my arm. And the first ever one I did was for growth. And I did it in a moon circle, and I wrote it on bread that we'd made with food ink and then ate it. So it's like we physically ate the sigil. And I remember being just so into it and being like, whoa, this magic is amazing. And then after that, I honestly believe my growth started, and I started becoming more aware and more questioning of what I've been brought up with. And, you know, like you say, we grew up with grot bags. That was the witch we knew when we were young. Do you remember grot
yeah,
bags?
I do.
So I'm a bit older than you. I'm like, I've got nearly a decade on you. So there's a lot of unpacking and understanding myself. And also just being all right. You know, like if people don't like me, that's all right. If somebody's gossiping about me, then just let them trust the universe. It'll come back to them. You don't have to do anything. And that was a massive growth for me, just being more like, why does it matter all this stuff we're being taught? Why do you have to be popular? Why does everybody have to like you? You don't even like everybody. If you were everybody's cup of tea, you'd be a mug.
That's a very heartwarming answer. And I'm so happy for you that you've found your path in life. As someone, you know, I've struggled a lot with depression and anxiety and stuff over the years. And, you know, things have got a hell of a lot better in recent years. But yeah, you know, like everyone, they still have their off days. So when you've found that one thing that you can, you know, you just know makes your bones happy, then yes, stick at that. Yeah, if anything, no matter what people's beliefs are listening to this, just the positivity that you're spreading can only be a good thing. I think there's a lot of power when you have good or positive intentions and you put that into action. You touched on this briefly, but how do you handle skepticism or criticism from those who may not understand or accept your beliefs?
It is hard because a lot of people just outright say you're a devil worshipper and they don't want to know, really. I mean, for a start, there's no devil in the craft, and I don't know why that keeps coming up. I'll go to nightclubs, you know, with my pentacle on because that protects me, and the doorman will be like, are you a witch? You know, prove it. Do magic right now. And it's just like, it don't work like that. It's all about being patient and trusting the process. I can't just like go, poof, here's a vase of flowers. You know, it's not that kind of magic. I mean, all you could do is tell people and accept that you might not change the mind. And if they're not meant to know it, then you won't change the mind. And be all right with that again, you know. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I know that people who need to hear what I'm saying will find me and listen. And it's not my job to pull people in and convert them, you know, like other religions do. It'll find you. If you're open to it, it'll find you. And then when you find it, you know, you naturally progress to knowing other people who are into it, and it becomes a really beautiful community of like-minded souls. I'm so here for it. But yeah, loads of people don't get witchcraft. You know, people actively stand there with signs saying like, you know, burn the witch and God loves you and the devil's in your heart. And it's just like, mate, you don't know what you're talking about. We are just so nice. Just going out going like, oh, that's a nice leaf, you know, like that meme. Oh, it's a nice leaf.
You've made me want to become a witch now. So what are male witches called? Wizards? Is that right? Or no?
No, they're witches too. Okay. And there's plenty of them. There's loads of men witches. So funny. People ask me that all the time. So am I a wizard? And I go, well, if you want. I mean,
you're a wizard, Harry.
Very, very similar. I think wizards are more fictional, aren't they? But yeah, there is men witches.
What advice would you give to somebody that's interested in exploring witchcraft?
I would say, don't rush it. Read all the books, listen to all the podcasts, find literature everywhere. Maybe join like Witchfest communities, or like Pagans of the North is another good one. And yeah, books mainly. Look at the seasons and collect stuff, and then wonder why you've collected it. You know, like we all collect shells from the sea. We all have random twigs and feathers. Like, why do you have them things? Maybe look into what a crow means, you know, like in folklore. Look for patterns in your life that you go like, oh, I heard this the other day and it's there again. Why is that? You know, it's all about finding meaning in the stuff that comes to you. It's kind of like divining, like divination through just noticing patterns in your life. Celebrate the seasons, study the wheel of the year, go to events, go to pagan events. Camps are amazing. Pagan camps are so welcoming, and it's all about rituals, coming together, just having fun. You know, you're not going to be sort of told off for doing it wrong, because a lot of new people come and that's how they get into them. I mean, that's how I started as well, doing camping, which is why the Bell Witch is called that, because I camped in a bell tent. Yeah, just, I'd say as well, magic is probably, physically doing magic is probably your last thing, you know, understanding everything else first, and ritual and doing altars and seeing people and going to moots, your local moots, where people, witches come together and do talks about different aspects of different witchcrafts, because there's so many, it's massive. Do all that. Make notes, do a book of shadows, kind of like a diary just about magic. Yeah, just see what patterns you can see. do magic right at the end, and do it, only do it for yourself. I would say don't do it for anybody else, because if something goes wrong, you're going to have to fix it or learn from it. I very rarely do magic I pretty rarely do magic, actually. I don't do it as much as I'd like to do it. Because I think part of it is being happy with what you've got, you know, like not just doing it for the sake of it. I mean, I do sigils, but in terms of me physically wanting to manifest something, I haven't done that for such a long time now. It's more about altar work for me and thanking the seasons and learning about deity and the tarot and the oracle and stuff.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that. For me personally, I've explored a lot of, you know, the laws of the universe. And for me, that in particular had a huge positive impact on my life. You know, I was heading in the wrong direction, doing things I definitely shouldn't be doing. And yeah, since I found, so cringy as it might be, but the book The Secret, which I'm sure you've heard.
Oh yeah, everybody's read that. It's the right,
yeah, it's where they all start, right? And so yeah, I got into that, read the book, and it was just like something just clicked inside me. And yeah, it sounds like what you're talking about, it sounds like there is some crossover in this field alongside, mm-hmm. you know, the laws of the universe and witchcraft, things like synchronicities and the law of attraction, what you give out, you get back, and yeah, manifestation and everything like that. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, there's loads of overlap. Even with, I always think with quantum physics as well, a tiny bit of that overlaps. And then when you start looking into it, it's just, it'll blow your mind. It all works together like a really well-oiled machine. But yeah, definitely, we all have the ability to get what we want. And some people argue that the things that happen to us are negative, we bring on, which I'm kind of like on the fence about that, because I'm like, you can't, surely not everything bad is because you brought it to yourself. Like, I can't get on board with that, but a lot of it probably is. For me personally, a lot of it was absolutely because I was always so woe is me. So more woe is me came to me. So that changed it. I mean, just recently I did one. Did you hear it about the splash when I was jogging? A car went past me and I was jogging and I got absolutely covered and it went everywhere. And I was so cross, so cross. And the more time went around, I was a bit like, I need to let this go now, because he probably don't even know he did it. You know, 10 years ago or more, I would have held on to it and I would have stewed about it all day and all week. And it would have just affected my life, because I'd never let go. I'd noticed other bad stuff happening to me too. And it really is that simple. It is a practice you've got to get into, changing your mindset. It's no easy task, and people get sad and that's okay. But just don't keep hold of the sadness. Let stuff make you smile, you know, like if you have an argument and your partner makes a joke, you know, like give him it, be like, okay, that's quite funny, I'll let you have that. And I do that quite a lot in my relationship. Just be allowed to let things go, be pissed off for a tiny little time, and then focus on the good stuff.
I think those are incredibly wise words. And sadly, the world we live in, so many people are just mm-hmm. stuck in that negative vibration, and then they're not even aware of it, which yeah. is so sad. I'm sure you know people in your life. I certainly know people in my life that could do with, you know, just understanding what you've just said, and just, you know, don't, like they say, don't sweat the small stuff, right?
Yeah, totally. And I get it. I used to be there. In fact, I was there 10 years. So I mean, I know it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah, I've kind of been in that mindset most of my life, to be honest, and it's only in the last maybe 5 years that I've understood that thinking that way can, it really does have such a negative impact on your life, and even not just your life, other people around you as well. So Emma, this show, as you know, is called Your Ghost Stories. So to finish off the show, I have to ask, have you had many paranormal encounters throughout your life? And if so, I'd totally love to hear your stories.
Blimey. How long you got? I wrote a list. I don't know if you want the whole list. Some of it will be already on one of my episodes, but there's just so good stories, so I thought I'd tell you them. So growing up with a psychic mum, there were loads of bumps, and she always spoke to spirit. You know, there'd be things like doors would just open repeatedly, and like close it, it'd open. And we used to have them old-fashioned glass doors in the house where I grew up. And many a time you'd just like, you know, catch a shadow going by. But I mean, like, I've only just thought about this recently. You know, when you forget something, and then when you sit down and think, it's like, oh, shit, yeah, there's loads of stuff. Some of it will be my imagination, of course it will, but some of it has got to have been, because it was such a big deal for my mum. She was a fantastic medium, and she used to read tarot and oracle. We'd go on the bus somewhere, and she'd meet somebody, just tell them their life story and who had died and who was with them, and scare them to death, and then they'd be like, ah! There was this, we had this painting in my mum's house that she bought. I've no idea where it came from. And one day a face appeared in the top right corner. And I was so young, I was really frightened. And I remember it became like a thing where people would come to the house to see this painting with a face in the top corner. And I remember somebody turned it light off and going like, oh, it glows. I mean, I never saw that, but I remember hearing it going like, oh. And it went next to it was on top of the landing, and my door was to the left of it. And I remember doing a 007, you know, like round the door frame so it didn't see me. And I was getting so scared, I couldn't even go to the toilet and start weeing myself and all sorts. And in the end, she had to get rid of it. And I don't know what she did with it. I mean, if she'd have kept it, it probably would have been worth quite a lot of money. She just went one day and I said, where's this painting gone? And she said, oh, I got rid of it because she was so frightened. I was a bit like, thanks, Mum. It's like, I can't believe I just thought about that until recently. And I'd forgot to put it in my podcast episode. I was a bit like, ah, but anyway, it's good for this one. There was this one time when I was dusting my TV in my room, and I heard the downstairs door open, and I heard footsteps coming up steps, you know, like running up, like coming to see me. And it sounded like my mum. So I didn't turn around. I just went, your mum or whatever I was doing. And then she took my jumper twice at the back. There's like one, two. And I turned around and there was nobody there. Oh my God. I remember being like, oh, that's a bit weird. But then I did dwell on it. I must have just carried on with my life. And then sometime later, I was thinking it's weird because I didn't see the reflection in the TV, which I was dusting. And then after that, I was a bit like, oh, that's actually really scary. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I did hear her come up the stairs and I was so sure it was her.
I guess most kids would be scared out of their minds having some of the experience that, you know, you've spoken about just now. But having a mum so deep into spirituality, did that make things a little bit easier for you to understand?
It did eventually. When I was young, I was really frightened before my nan died because it was just so commonplace. You know, and I'd always like eavesdrop and she was talking to people because people used to come to the house for tarot cards and readings and ghosty nights and stuff. And I'd hear them say stuff and just be like, shame myself upstairs on top step. It should be in beds, and I'd be hearing what she was saying to them. And I remember this one time when I started realizing, okay, spirit. She never called them ghosts. She always called them spirit. It was always spirit. Ghosts to her were just like Scooby-Doo. But I remember being in bed and my feet were freezing cold and I just could not get a warm for my life. I had about 20 socks on and two blankets and a pillow over them. And I said out loud, almost for a laugh, like, if this is a spirit, can you warm my feet up? And instantly my feet got really, really hot, like fire hot. And I remember freaking out, taking all socks off, you know, like ripping all bed covers off and being like, oh, what? it was so, the heat was just like, ouch, you know, it was bad.
I'd keep that spirit alongside me my whole life. Whenever I get cold, mate, sort us out.
It only happened like once.
It's like a hot water bottle on tap.
God, it was so, so hot. And then there's the, what else is there? That recently, because I'm really interested in ghosts, as you might be able to tell, because I listen to all these ghost podcasts, and me and my friend and a bunch of others are setting up a ghost hunting business called Grave Encounters.
Cool.
And I said I'd mention this as a little plug for us in Leeds. So we're going to do like authentic down-to-earth ghost hunts in pubs and stuff. No, nothing theatrical or bells and whistles. Like, I just want a ghost hunt. I'm not really bothered about making money. I just want to do it. And I can't afford to do it with other people, so I'm going to do it myself. And we did one in January, just after New Year. And all night I was getting bits and bobs because I'm a tiny bit psychic and I get random thoughts and I think that's spirit speaking to me. But at the end of the night, we did table tipping and I could feel if we just spent time with this table, we could get it moving. And the rest of the party left and there were me and a mother-daughter duo with his fingertips on this table. And I could feel it like trembling, you know, and it was a different kind of movement. Like I've never felt anything like that in my life. And we were talking to her, you know, if the spirit's here, will you move this table for us? You know, we're just free women. We can't do it on our own. You know, we need all the help we can get. And we had one of them ghost boxes in the middle, you know, that says a word randomly from the radio. And it was saying names. So we were talking to the names. I think one was Jason. Like, Jason, if you can help us move this table, it'd be amazing. And it was nearly 12 and it finished at 12. And the people who were running it came up to us and said, you need to finish at 12 because we've got to give the keys back. And now we're going, oh, please, can we just try? And it moved just a little like, whoop. And we were all like, wow, that's amazing. So she went away and we tried a bit more and it were tiny little movements, nothing much, just like an inch. And then she came back and she was like, right, that's it. We're done. And as she came in and said that, the table moved about 3 foot, like, and I felt like I'd won the lottery. I was just, oh my God. And because we had also had an observer at the door, you know, waiting for us to finish. And she saw us walk with this table. We've got goosebumps. And it moved towards the wall. And that was like the best ever experience I've ever had.
Yeah, you sound so lucky to be able to see that. And I'm sure the person, the observer at the door, probably never offered to lock up the building ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just fantastic. And then that we're like, okay, we need to do this. We need to set up a ghost hunting thing just to do this again, because that confirmed so much for me that night. And I'm always, I mean, when you believe in ghosts, it's a bit like a pendulum, you know, like I absolutely believe, and then you'll hear something else and go, nope, it's bollocks or bollocks. And then you'll go, no, but what about this? What about that? What about this? And I think that's really natural in like the paranormal world of, you know, like cube skeptic, cube disbeliever, you know, deem believer. But yeah, that was fantastic.
Sounds amazing. If you ever do any investigations closer down south, please do let me know. I'd love to come and join in.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, you never know. We might be really good at it and expand and everything. Who knows what the universe is going to bring me? I'm absolutely trusting because I've no idea what I'm doing. You know, I've got a spirit board and a pendulum and all that jazz, all the typical witch kit. I'm just going to turn up my authentic self and just try my best.
Oh, I love it. Emma, it's been so amazing to have you on, and we'll definitely have to do it again sometime. Sounds like you've got a few more stories to tell.
Your ghost stories. Your ghost stories.
Just to finish up, where can some of my listeners come and find you and your podcast?
So I am the Bell Witch podcast. I'm absolutely everywhere. I work really hard to get on all the streaming stuff. So whenever you listen, I will most likely be there. Apple, Spotify, and all the little ones, Podfinder and Bean and whatever else there is. And I'm also on Instagram, the Bell Witch podcast, separated by underscores, each word. And I'm very active on there. And I've got Facebook and all that, but I'm not as into that as Instagram. And yeah, I love talking about ghosts or spooky stuff or anything witchy. I'm right chatty. I'm always looking for people to come on my show, stealing your audience. But yeah, we're all about sharing the podcast in love, aren't we? It's such a lovely group of podcasts we've got going at the moment.
Absolutely. The best community I've ever been part of. Yeah. Everyone that I've chatted to has just been so great. And yeah, it's great fun. But yeah, anyone listening, I'm going to put a link in the description of this so you can go and find the Bell Witch podcast and find some more of Emma's stuff from there. But yeah, it's been so great to have you on, and it's been a pleasure to meet you as well.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I've had loads of fun.
All the best. Cheers.
Ooh. Welcome to the Bell Witch podcast. A show that covers the infamous legend of the historic
Bell Witch haunting in southern United States in the 19th century, where the Bell family experienced frightening happenings within their home. Hang on a second. No, that's the wrong Bell Witch. This is a podcast about being a witchy pagan in the 21st century, airing bi-weekly, with different guests on each month sharing their pearls of wisdom and gems of knowledge from their very own witchy businesses. I call it a moot loot. Here we cover a wide range of pagan and witchcraft related topics, from sigils, spells and spirits to Reiki rituals and pagan parenting while camping in the Bell tent named Delilah. It's got nothing to do with the Bell Witch from the 19th century in Tennessee that scared people to death in a little townhouse, which may or may not be true. Pretty cool story, but yeah, it's the wrong Bell Witch. This Bell Witch podcast is brought to you by Swales, the friendly green witch from Leeds, UK. A northern witch with a strong Yorkshire accent, a love of all things weird, spooky, magical, and a smelly dragon named Dave. So tune in every 2 weeks for a sprinkling of Yorkshire magic. Listen to the Bell Witch podcast with me, Swales, a friendly green witch, wherever you get your podcasts.